This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Taking the recession's temperature.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this Friday morning. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we're about 20 minutes into the trading day. You ready to spend some money? Is the economy ready for autopilot? Here's another question. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now. The S&P 500 up about 0.2%, and the NASDAQ and Dow pretty much flat. Dow up about 0.6%, up 5 points at 96.32 right now. Campbell's Soup Company announced this morning a higher fourth quarter operating profit. Higher prices help things along there. European shares are higher right now, between 0.5% and 1%, and Asian stocks closed mixed. Just a few minutes, we'll get the latest consumer sentiment index from the University of Michigan. The thought is if people are feeling better about the economy, they'll likely start spending some money. That's the theory anyway. Julie Neiman is an analyst at Smith Moore & Company. She's joining us live this morning from St. Louis. Good morning, Julie.
Morning, Steve.
So how would you describe your own consumer sentiment this week, Julie?
Well, everything we're seeing, it's not translating into increased spending after you net out all the price increases, because prices have been going up. There's really depressed consumer demand. It's keeping us in a slump because it's all tied to jobs. More mass layoffs being announced, real wages falling, pay cuts becoming very common. So you're looking at sentiment doesn't equal demand here.
Meanwhile, the White House is playing up predictions of economic recovery. That's part of what President Obama will talk about in a speech on Wall Street Monday. That's the one-year anniversary of the Lehman Brothers collapse. We all remember that. Let's bring in Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale, who's joining us live right now as well. Hi, John.
Hello, Steve.
So what else do you expect to hear from the president in that speech on Monday?
Well, I'm sure he's going to say that all the multi-billion-dollar government programs to rescue banks and car companies have successfully pulled the economy back from the brink of collapse, and there are now enough signs of recovery that the government can get out of the banking and car business and maybe even start putting private industries back in the driver's seat.
Julie Neiman, what kind of timing is this, do you think? Is the government finally getting out of the bank business? Is it time for that to happen?
It won't happen with the bank business for a while, simply because they're focusing on the wrong question, too big to fail, and they're looking at more oversight and regulation. The big issue is don't let the banks get too big to be able to cause global financial collapse. All the sage people in Washington are warning of this. It looks like what we're not going to get is regulation that breaks up these banks and keeps them smaller. So the issue is going to be this big one to keep it from happening again.
I suspect, John Dimsdale, that the president's message is also going to include more calls to get on with regulation of the financial system, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, regulatory reform is now number two on the list of the administration's priorities, right behind overhauling health care. So he's going to ask for, as Julie says, beefed up regulations from the Federal Reserve Board and new consumer protections to try to avoid housing bubbles and too much unsecured credit in the future.
Julie, time is of the essence on this, do you think?
I think what they need to do is to make sure that we can't explode to the size we have been before. We're going to have global financial collapse all over again, not because of regulation, but because of size. And now we're looking at a virus that can go globally instantaneously. So it's going to take coordinated effort.
Yeah. Julie Neiman, our thanks to you joining us from St. Louis. Julie, thank you.
You bet.
Marketplace's John Dimsdale joining us from Washington. John, thanks.
Anytime, Steve.
We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. The slogan for a new General Motors promotion, may the best car win. The company's hoping to win you over with one of its cars, but if it doesn't, no worries. Starting Monday, GM will let you return a new vehicle for a full refund. No questions asked. but it has to be between 31 and 60 days after the purchase. The car or truck cannot have more than 4,000 miles on it, and the driver has to be up on payments. The guarantee covers purchases through the end of November. GM hopes the campaign will win back some customers. Belgium, by the way, wants the European Union to investigate the sale of GM's Opel unit. Amid misgivings there, Germany allegedly sought to protect its own plant at the cost of others. Listening to the Morning Report for Friday, September 11th, 2009, at Marketplace.org. More than 300 day laborers and activists are swarming Capitol Hill today to push for immigration reform. They argue the economic crisis has meant growing abuse of illegal and also legal workers. Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Even during the construction boom, employers often ripped off undocumented day laborers. Nick Theodore studies the low-wage labor market at the University of Illinois. He says the collapse of the construction industry has made a bad situation worse.
The wage thresholds have begun to fall with the loss of work, and there's also been a rise in wage theft, the underpayment and non-payment of wages.
But now, he says, the abuses common in that underground economy are spilling into the whole low-wage labor market. In a study published this month, he found
68% of workers that we surveyed reported at least one violation of a major labor and employment law in the previous week. And it should be noted that we're not talking here about a few rogue employers or industries that are on the margins.
And Theodore says these abuses don't just happen to illegal immigrants anymore. They can affect anyone who has to take a low-wage job. He believes giving immigrants a legal right to work might help all workers protect their rights. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
Officials from the European Union will visit Zimbabwe this weekend. It's the first visit of its kind since 2002. That's when Zimbabwe's economy was in a tailspin, and the EU imposed sanctions targeting President Robert Mugabe and his allies. A visit by the European delegation is seen as a new effort to normalize ties between the two economies. And Gretchen Wilson has more from Johannesburg.
The high-level European delegation will meet with President Robert Mugabe and his former rival, now Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, as well as other ministers in Zimbabwe's new coalition government. Zimbabwe's economy plummeted in the last decade under Mugabe's rule. There were also countless reports of human rights abuses by government officials. In response, the EU and the US imposed travel and business restrictions on Mugabe and his close aides. Now that there's a power-sharing government, African leaders want the West to lift all sanctions against Mugabe and his inner circle. They say it will help spark economic development. The EU delegation says that it will discuss normalizing ties with Zimbabwe, but the EU stresses that the visit doesn't necessarily mean it will lift sanctions. Officials say they first want to see progress in human rights reforms, respect for the rule of law, and more transparency in financial institutions. In Johannesburg, I'm Gretchen Wilson for Marketplace.
Britain could be on the brink of a new North Sea bonanza. The seabed around its coast could yield another multi-million dollar fortune. But this time, the UK would not be extracting oil and gas. The plan is to sell space under the sea for storing carbon dioxide. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
From oil rigs like this, Britain has pumped billions of dollars worth of fossil fuels out of the North Sea. Now it could make billions more from the battle against global warming by pumping carbon dioxide back down under the same sea.
The whole purpose of doing this is to store the carbon dioxide for hundreds and probably tens of thousands of years to prevent it going into the atmosphere.
Stuart Hazeldine of Edinburgh University says capturing carbon emissions from power stations and burying them could be one of the best ways of tackling climate change, and Britain is well placed to cash in, according to his new survey of the North Sea.
The UK has been blessed with a large amount of storage capacity in the rocks around the UK. We've probably got hundreds of years of storage for European power plants.
Offering undersea storage will appeal to Britain's European neighbours, says David Reiner of the Judge Business School. Europe's biggest carbon emitter, Germany, is already trying to develop onshore carbon storage sites and meeting resistance.
They call it NUMBI, not under in my backyard. So the big advantage that they have in the case of the offshore and in the case of the North Sea is that considerably reduces some of those concerns.
There are still concerns. Will the CO2 leak, damaging marine life? Is there any danger of the seabed suddenly releasing all the CO2 in a giant volcanic belch? Mike Stevenson of the British Geological Survey has studied a carbon capture project in the Norwegian sector of the North Sea.
We can see the CO2 collecting. We know what it's doing. So the science is telling us that it looks okay.
North Sea carbon capture could earn Britain $7 billion a year and support up to 60,000 jobs. Stevenson says the UK should follow the example of Texas, which has a similar geology. The state is already promoting itself as the CO2 sink for the US. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Walmart this month starts rolling out a new program. A retailer isn't going to issue any more paper checks to its employees. They can either get paid through direct deposit, or they can get their money loaded onto this prepaid debit card. Marketplace's Elisa Roth reports on what this means for workers.
Walmart's pitching the new program as a winner for everybody. Workers get their money more quickly, and Walmart saves money on payroll, though it won't say how much. Kimberly Gartner works with people who have limited access to banks. She sees the new program and others like it as a boon.
The prepaid cards provide a really solid option that in many ways have the same opportunities or features and functions as a checking account does.
But some consumer advocates worry the move toward prepaid cards pushes people away from traditional banks and helps create a kind of two-tier financial system. Deyanira Del Rio is with an Economic Justice Resource Center in New York, and she says companies should help employees get access to regular accounts.
Our concern is essentially that prepaid cards on the whole are just a very expensive way for most people to conduct financial transactions.
Walmart isn't the first to use these cards for payroll. Several other companies have made the switch. And last year, the federal government started using similar cards to pay Social Security benefits. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Hey, we finally got that U.S. Consumer Sentiment Index. It rose in early September to the strongest in 3 months, with growing expectations that the economy will improve. That's according to the Reuters University of Michigan survey of consumers. And finally, with all those travel books on the market, how about one that tells you where not to go? The new book, Off the Tourist Trail, says some of the world's most famous destinations aren't worth the hassle. They're overvisited or just downright overrated. And for every place it tells you to avoid, it cites an alternative. For example, the Grand Canyon in Arizona. Yeah, the book says stay away from it and try Utah's Bryce Canyon instead. It recommends Isla del Sol on the border of Bolivia and Peru instead of Machu Picchu, saying that that place is way too crowded. In Los Angeles, underrated for sure. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.